All right, we're in Genesis, and last week in chapter 12, we were introduced to Abram, who will in due time be called Abraham. Right now we're referring to him as Abram because the scriptures refer to him as Abram, and he just kind of appears sort of out of the blue in the book of Genesis. And the first thing we learn about him is that God chose Abram. Now, those reasons for God choosing Abram are unknown to us. God just chooses him, as far as we know. But the purpose of God choosing him was so that all the peoples on the whole earth could be blessed. And so... we saw this picture of God as creator. He's the maker of all. He loves everyone. He had to destroy the earth and start over. And now there's this repopulation. And we see that his love hasn't changed. He has a universal love for all mankind. And so he wants to bless the whole world. And he has chosen Abram. So Abram, unlike Moses, who would come along in a few centuries, and argue with God and make excuses for why he's not available, Abram, on the other hand, simply obeyed. At 75 years old, he gathered up his things and his people, including his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and he went on his way, took off for Canaan, journeying through that land. Abram built altars everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, he built altars to the Lord. Now, because there was a famine in Canaan, he kept moving on down to Egypt. And the text doesn't say this, but it probably wasn't with God's approval. In Egypt, he became fearful that his wife would get him killed on account of her great beauty. Any of us had that fear? All the guys are like, yes. But in those days, if you were traveling with a beautiful wife, you know, you could get you in trouble. And so so he convinced her to lie and say that she was his sister. And it didn't take long for Pharaoh's scouts to notice her and bring her back and add her to Pharaoh's harem. And at that point, God came against Pharaoh and inflicted his house with diseases. And upon discovering that that Sarai was Abram's wife and not his sister, although I think she was his half-sister, so it's kind of a half-truth, but he sent them on their way. Abram, realizing that he sort of needed to put this embarrassing episode behind him, headed back, sort of retracing his steps, headed back to the Negev, which was a desert wilderness. He's retracing his steps. We don't know how long he was down in Egypt, but this will become sort of a pattern for God's people. Down to Egypt and back. Down to Egypt and back. In fact, the Bible's first mention of Egypt here in Genesis 12 offers many foreshadowing details of the coming Exodus, the great Exodus that we'll read about in the next book of God's people from the land of Egypt. Consider some of these parallels between this story and what we'll read in Exodus. There was a famine in Canaan, which was the occasion for God's people to go to Egypt and seek refuge there. There was mistreatment of God's people by Pharaoh. God afflicts Pharaoh's house. He afflicts the Egyptians with plagues. The Egyptians send God's people away with great wealth. They return to the land of Canaan with through the desert with their great wealth. And upon arrival, they worship the Lord. And this is where we pick up in chapter 13. But before we do, I want to return to an idea that Pastor Phil mentioned last week that he brought to our attention, and that's this. Abram is a symbol of hope for us. We often think of him as an example of faith, and he is, but he's also a symbol of hope. He reminds us that our God is not the kind of being who sits back and after we have made our mistakes and made our messes, sits back and says, "See, look what you did now." No, He's a God who enters our mess, our mess. He's a rescuer with a plan. Abram represents the visible beginning of God's grace.